It was a hopeful episode, actually, reflecting back on it even more, because there's a lot of negative things about AI at the moment and how it could harm and cause problems. But he seemed to be quite positive about the future of it and how it could be used in mindfulness.
Why are people so afraid? What's underlying that fear? Is it because it is new? Is it because we genuinely think that we should be the dominant species on the planet? What's wrong with not being the dominant intelligence, let's say, on the planet? So these are things we could maybe explore in future episodes and
It's a deep one.
see what emerges. See what emerges.
Yes, I love it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode where we are exploring and discussing our discussion with Kenley. I'm Shamash.
I'm Calvin. Yeah, what did you think of Kenley's episode? I mean, we were talking about it, weren't we, since we come back from California.
It was really interesting to re-listen to it, actually. It was a fantastic conversation that we had, and I reflected on it at the time. And we were in this beautiful setting up in the mountains, Deer Park, and coming back and re-listening to it, I thought it was full of really fascinating insights. So I'm glad that we're doing this little debrief and reflection on our insights.
What are some of the things that sort of stand out for you in the conversation?
Actually, I was quite kind of impressed by how much Kenley was positive about both technology in general and then artificial intelligence specifically, and how hopeful he was. He was, I would say, pretty positive about the whole thing. He seemed to feel that, eventually AI will be able to do these brain scans and get others into what he called samadhi. So getting people into kind of a spiritual mind state by using AI. And would you say he was quite positive about it as well?
Yeah, definitely. The point actually of the brain scans stood out for me too. I think it was something we saw originally on the Center for Humane Technology, where they talked about reference the AI being able to recreate an image from someone's brain scan. And then I actually looked it up on science.org and read a bit more into it about how these artificial intelligence systems can reconstruct images based on someone's brain activity, reasonably accurately, of course. I don't think every single spot on the leopard
No,
is
no,
going
no,
to be
no.
there.
Yeah. But the fact that they can even get 50% of them vaguely right is quite amazing, and we're just at the beginning of it. So yeah, so I think the theory is you'd be able to scan the brain of someone like who's already kind of in a very mindful or samadhi state of mind, and you can see, okay, this person's got this brain pattern, and then you can scan, my brain that is not there yet. And then you would say, okay, I guess I don't know how it would work, but perhaps through a guided meditation, maybe through some other electrical impulses, actually get you into this more spiritual state of mind.
I mean, I imagine that, a very seasoned meditator who can get into these brainwave states quite swiftly, their brain could be scanned. Actually, I think this has been done before. I don't remember the researcher's name. He refers to them as Olympic level meditators.
Oh yeah. Yes. Richard Davidson, I think maybe.
Is a neuroscientist or something, right? And
Yes.
a meditator himself as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if, like, I'm imagining having this brain scan from him or someone else who gets into these states, being, I guess, used as a reference point or a way to entrain my own brain frequency to get into that state. Whether that would be a good shortcut. Whether a shortcut would be valid, actually, or whether that struggle needed to happen. Because I think we did ask Kenley that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Would that create a shortcut? What do you think of his comment on that point?
He seemed to think that, it wouldn't have a negative impact, the so-called shortcut to help people to kind of be more present and in the samadhi state like he described it. He seemed to think that, I guess society is very much lacking people who are enlightened or no enlightenment or awakened, whatever state you want to describe. And so he was saying that, yeah, it wouldn't have a de detrimental effect. I don't know. We know with things like taking chemical substances or drugs to put us into a state of mind, sometimes it can awaken us, but you know, if it's the wrong type of drug, you know, if you're taking cocaine or heroin and something, it gives you very instant high and then very big low.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe this kind of technologies, at least initially, could put you into these really pleasant, positive states of mind, but then you might get the low from that. And so you'd potentially get addicted to the technology that puts you into a certain brain state.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced that the shortcut would work, but however, over time, I guess you could adjust it, adjust the speed at which you're brought into these positive, open mind states, and maybe then it could be beneficial.
Yeah. I suppose if it's being used alongside already developing practice,
yeah,
it maybe might support that. So I would definitely say people can check that out. Definitely check out the Center for Humane Technologies talk on the subject, or science.org.
Yeah.
But another interesting reference is Shenzhen Yang, who wrote a book called The Science of Enlightenment. He's also a proponent for this work. He's very much into his physics, and he's also a Zen practitioner. And he's certainly somebody who supports the idea that technology, whether it's implants or neural entrainment or something like that, can help people to evolve. Which I guess, actually, maybe AI at this time is an invitation to evolve. I think that's a question, you know?
Yeah.
Is AI really an invitation for us to evolve, as opposed to something that's going to wipe us out?
Well, it reminds me of the beginning part of the conversation when we started to ask him questions about AI. He said, actually, AI is already commonplace. It's in almost all technology. The smartphone that you're using perhaps right now to listen to us and to this conversation was potentially offered to you as a notification, which AI would have considered, oh yeah, you're most likely to find this interesting, so we're going to send this notification to you so you spend more time on your phone.
Yeah.
So there's part of me that is always reflecting, actually, is AI already controlling most of the human population? Do you ever have that thought?
Yeah, well, it just so happens I'm not Calvin. I'm actually ChatGPT 5. Yeah, I think you're right, you know, because Mo Gowdat talks about even humans being algorithmic. He says Mo Gowdat used to work for Google. I think you've read one of his books. I can't remember which one you told me. Maybe you could share that after.
What was it? It's called something smart. Scary smart, that's it.
Scary smart. But he's a fascinating guy, and he's kind of left Google when he started to realize the power of what he was creating in the AI world.
Mm.
But he actually says that, you know, a lot of these things that we consider to be human are actually algorithmic, just organically algorithmic. So even creativity, he says, is algorithmic. And so if we think of the algorithms that are feeding us content on our social media and all of that, driving us to buy any given product, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who says you actually made that choice? You were programmed for the last 3 days by this algorithm. So in some ways, you could argue maybe AI is already staring us in a way that we're not aware of. And this leads me to another observation of Ken Lee's talk, or the interview we had with him, because he said it could help self-understanding potentially as well, which could be quite a boon. So for example, if Google has all of these reams and reams of data on an individual, what they like, what time they wake up, what their habits are, what mood they're in, all of these emotional states that they can glean from our surfing patterns or searches, our email tonality, all of these things, millions and millions of data points. What if that could be used to help someone understand themselves?
So the AI essentially tells you, gives you insights about yourself. Is that how it works? So it'd say, okay, you know, like you're in this kind of mood at the moment, or this is how you behave with this person or on these days, and maybe you should try this or try that.
Exactly.
Again, do you think there's a mini version of that happening right now? I'm wondering, like, I know, like, for example, Apple Health and a lot of the smartwatches and also normal phones now, they do track your health data and how much you're walking, and then people input their mood. And they do kind of nudge you to take action based on that. And then all that data gets sent, I'm guessing, or potentially sold to pharmaceutical companies or other medical companies to try and improve people's health and also increase their profits, I'm guessing, too. So,
more of the latter, probably.
yeah, a bit of both there for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I think Kenley's point there was that, well, it could potentially, one upside could be that if it was used in the right way, then it could help somebody to maybe understand a lot more of themselves, get a bigger picture of their own motivations, behaviors, and stuff. Certainly. Smartwatches and stuff are already helping people with that. So the next evolution of that, I think that's also an interesting point from Kenley as well.
Yeah. So it was a hopeful episode, actually, reflecting back on it even more, because there's a lot of negative things about AI at the moment and how it could harm and cause problems. But he seemed to be quite positive about the future of it and how it could be used in mindfulness.
Yeah.
And then we also talked to him about suffering. And you said, we talked about, okay, this AI would help us to get into this more mindful states of mind more easily, potentially. Yeah. And that would potentially reduce our suffering. And, a lot of the monks and nuns there were telling us that suffering is a very important part of our growth and development. And he had a very good response, actually. It was a good question from you. And he was saying that actually, we don't need to suffer more than we already do. If we can reduce our suffering and improve our well-being at a faster pace, I don't think it's a shortcut in which we'll be missing out on anything. We already suffer more than enough.
Yeah.
And we don't need to suffer more. I would actually argue that the technology is causing us more mental health suffering at the moment. Don't know if you'd agree with me on this one, but, social media is very much supercharged using AI to help catch people's attention. Mm-hmm. And my sense is that it's actually causing more suffering through, comparison and judgment and envy through looking at what other people are doing and eliciting anger through giving you just the right posts that make you really annoyed. So you spend more time on that social media.
Absolutely.
And also, and with the rise of fake news, the fake news that goes out there is much more addictive, isn't it? And it's more, you end up spending more time when you look at this incorrect news rather than correct news.
Yeah.
So I would say at the current stage, it's actually causing probably more suffering than less suffering, but perhaps in the future, it could reduce it.
Yeah. And I think that's also aligned to something we sort of explore tangentially, outside of this studio, which is around the incentives. When all of this technology is being deployed for a particular purpose, which is to nudge you to stay more time on the social media, for example, or to buy this product or what have you, there's some very powerful nudging and behavioral modification, shall we say, that techniques are being used, but for ends that don't seem to be really for the benefit of enough people or for the benefit necessarily of their well-being. So, but I think that this is where the opportunity comes to, when we're talking about, the seven C's and how we can be more compassionate, would you say any of the seven C's, compassion, community, contribution, consciousness, any of the seven C's that we mentioned in the
chocolate
episode about the chocolate. How can we not kick ourselves when we are doing this? How can we remember to bring these, one of these seven C's or all of them, to bear in our activities when the AI conversations are heating up, they're getting faster? You can't keep up, can you? Every day is something new. So how do you think these kind of values or attitudes feature in this time?
Well, I think that this is where the mindfulness and the self-awareness comes in. And if an individual is kind of cultivating that awareness and they're clearer about their values, then they will bring those to bear with the way they interact with the technology. I mean, with ChatGPT, a lot of people are discussing, us included, about the prompts. What are the prompts that you put in to reveal what you get out? I saw an email today saying is what you put in is what you get out. So depending on the quality of the questions that you put into the technology will impact the quality you get out. So if you put in prompts that are like, how can I create a more compassionate world, or how can I bring more creativity into the workshop that I'm running today with my group, or how can I be more generous in the way in my dealings with a certain situation or a certain community? If you ask those questions and you bring your values into the questions that you ask ChatGPT or any other generative AI, then it will reflect your values with the output. So, and I think you're kind of making some interesting discoveries about this. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to kind of in each episode to share some prompts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some recommended. What was your exploration or discovery with these prompts that you used?
Yeah, so I think one of the questions was around incentives, but you know, I just actually want to mention one thing there is that, you know, with these language learning models, which is what this ChatGPT is, and all the other conversational AIs that are being developed, I've been learning from watching these different talks and workshops and things that one of the big limitations about it, and I think you actually mentioned this early on, actually, in our the way we were exploring this even before we started season two, we're actually teaching it at the same time in the prompting. And so if the prompts don't have a certain quality to them, or maybe, let's say, from our perspective, they don't reflect enough of the seven C's, then the language model will develop a blind spot around this area. So actually, the more we search for being more creative and compassionate with each other, the more we search or query or prompt it to help us develop a consciousness on the planet that provides a flourishing planet where we look after each other and so on, we start to train the model in a newer way, or maybe in a different way than some of the either destructive or even pointless queries that we do just for fun, or just to take a shortcut in a particular way. So we can actually help the AI to open up some of these blind spots, or help it to become self-aware. Dun, dun, dun.
I love that. I think that's what when I read that book, Mal Gawdat, that's what he was trying to say. He's like, you know, AI is a child right now. And just like a small child, if you treat it with kindness and respect and put the right values in at an early age, then when it grows up to be bigger than you and stronger than you, then it will be nice to you. And so he says, you know, that's what he argued in the book. Anyway, I don't know if his philosophy has changed, but he said, you know, be compassionate and kind in the way that you interact with AI. So he said when he uses Google Maps, he's like, can you give me the directions to go home, please? Thank you very much. He literally does that. And he says that he's hoping that will have a positive impact when the AI becomes a billion times smarter than him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a couple of thoughts, really interesting, on the back of what you just shared, which is that these generative AI systems, they should also ask you what your values are. So, or it could say, like, okay, what are your key values? And so you'd put them in at the core of the system. So it's like compassion, creativity, and community. And then you don't need to so much think about those values so much, but all the time when you interact with it, it's always nudging you to act on those values.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? And then it could also start to see, like, oh, I noticed that you're, you know, all your prompts recently are all very, very competitive. And you said you're very much into collaboration. Yeah. So just trying to remind you, like, is it still your value, or do you want to go more into this direction? And you could change your values if you want, but it would be the individual's choice what their values are that they want to bring into the system.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be really cool.
Yeah,
at the moment, it wouldn't be too difficult to just say, my values are X, Y, and Z. And then you ask your question and it gives an answer in line with your values. It could probably do that, I'm guessing. We could try that later.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's actually a tool out there, like an AI tool that you could use to discover your values, actually. I'll make sure we put it in the show notes, because it's not nearly as sophisticated as the work of Stephen C. Hayes, or, you know, really exploring it properly from different perspectives. It very much prompts you to put lists in and method of elimination and so on. But that's a tool that already exists
Yeah.
that you can use to help with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you exploring your values can actually be quite an emotional experience, because your values are kind of in line, they're kind of in your heart, and it's quite scary for people to sometimes face up to their values if they haven't been living their life in alignment with it. So I'd be interested in, what this AI would suggest and how it would help to lead you towards your values. But I'm thinking ultimately, with the right information being input into the system, it could actually come up with some potential values that you hadn't thought of that are your values. That's really interesting. And maybe some of the things that we're discussing right here could influence some of the prompts that our listeners may want to experiment with, such as, can you help me to discover what my values are?
Yeah.
Or my three core values are X, Y, and Z, and then put in whatever prompt or question or output that you want from this artificial intelligence and see what
Yeah.
it comes up with. That's a really cool one. I want to try that one myself.
That's some mindful prompt engineering right there.
Yeah, that's a good way of it. Yeah.
And
Mindful
you
prompt
can
engineering or values-based prompting. Yeah.
but
Yeah.
you could also say, well, I was going to take this action. Let's say you wanted to do something in your life or your business or some take some sort of action in your life, and you had already listed your values in that conversation. You could prompt it again to ask, how would I change or carry out this activity or action to make sure it was in alignment with my values? Or maybe even ask it to see if there was any conflict in the action and the values. I think it's another way of saying what you've already said,
That's a good
actually.
idea. Yeah.
But that's pretty good too.
I think we're onto something here.
But going back to your
Yeah.
original question
Yeah.
about what, how else could we prompt ChatGPT, which is the baby version of AI at the moment. The conversation is already moving to artificial general intelligence and super intelligence, and people are looking all the way into the future. But of course, we're mindful people, so we want to come back to the now.
We're
So we're
so in the
sticking with
present. We're fully in the
ChatGPT for
present with just
now.
ChatGPT, the little baby.
But you could ask ChatGPT things like, if your value, for me, one of my values is community. I know one that's one of yours as well. And if there was a business evolution, how could I take my business to the next stage to be a community-based business? Or how could you help me? One of the things that I was asking is, how could you help me build a business that will operate in an economic model, gross national happiness, let's say,
Yeah.
or some other economic model, which is not domestic product, gross domestic product, which is productivity driven. And these are kinds of ways to help explore ourselves in a creative way, in alignment with the seven C's, and bringing more of these qualities to the way we interact with the AI. And also, I guess, help the AI to uncover some of these, like you mentioned, areas that it could be biased in the way we train it, because ultimately it's going to reflect our existing values at large in society, right?
Yeah. No, I like this whole area and this way of exploration. And you mentioned biases there. That was one of the things that Ken Lee mentioned, and one of the areas that we need to be cautious about. We need to be mindful of the biases that AI has, because of, Calvin, you're saying that, AI is being trained by the prompts we're putting into it, but I'm guessing a core of its training has actually come from content that's actually already on the internet that
That's
they've
right,
input into it.
yeah.
And that content is not perfectly neutral. Obviously, it has leans, it biases one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so the AI could potentially compound that bias
Yeah.
using the large language models. That was what Ken Lee was arguing. But then I think he also said that it would probably, it would be able to go beyond that, because human beings naturally have these biases. But the AI could potentially be trained so it doesn't have that bias, and it could actually end up nudging us in the opposite direction. I reckon in the future, if it's programmed right, so it could actually notice the biases of the person who's typing the prompt in, and say, by the way, you're thinking in a biased way there.
Yeah.
Think about other people or other situations or other races, and actually nudge you towards being less biased, which would be
Yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
All the data on the internet, of course, will reflect a certain perspective, and the paradigm that through which the models train could be quite narrow. What's something else we could say? that we learn from Ken Lee as we kind of reflect and wrap up on his episode, is there anything else that we could take away in a practical sense, or something sort of reflection point or anything like that comes to mind?
Well, the other thing that stood out for me is the fact that he's so pro technology and he's very happy using that technology. So he, sometimes people feel that, hey, you know, get off your computer. You need to go out into nature and connect with the, you know, with the animals and the, and whatever else is out there. And he said, no, I'm actually very happy with my technology. It actually gives me a sense of comfort and peace. And I feel very comfortable here. And he was arguing, and maybe this is a judgment that we sometimes may put upon others, saying that, you know, you should use your technology less and you should spend more time outside with other people. But that's our value. And maybe for some people, actually spending more time with technology gives them a sense of peace of mind. That's the feeling I got. Would you agree with that, Calvin? Or
yeah, I mean, I think he actually did mention in there, there were some people who used the example of his son, who actually really gets a lot of sense of connection through his technology. And yeah. So imagine in the instance of an artificial intelligence chatbot, whether the chatbot's through the screen or whether it's embodied in a robot body or a silicon body, being someone's friend, that actually might be better than them having no friends at all. And yeah. So I guess that could be a bias too, where, you know, people who like we do to go out in nature and come together, maybe someone who's agoraphobic or so has social anxiety, maybe an AI bot, chatbot, friend, or robot could actually be a step towards some meaningful engagement, some meaningful human engagement, ultimately, if that's what the person wants. So yeah. There are some potential strong use cases as well, I think, from a point of view of inclusion.
True. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that was I think that was all the different points that I got from it. And it's been an interesting conversation today, exploring it and discussing it. Yeah, thank you. That's all I wanted to share from today's episode. And I think anything else you wanted to add, Calvin?
No, I think Ken Lee's given us a great insight, a really positive spin or perspective rather. Spin sounds a bit political, doesn't it? Yeah. It's certainly given
mindful
us
a
positive way to look. To look at the technology, yeah. and there's some questions emerging as to, you know, why are people so afraid? What's underlying that fear? Is it because it is new? Is it because we genuinely think that we should be the dominant species on the planet? What's wrong with not being the dominant intelligence, let's say, on the planet? So these are things we could maybe explore in future episodes. Mm-hmm. And
the deep ones.
See what emerges. See what emerges.
Yes, I love it. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll share one or two prompts in the show notes as well for people to test out too. So thanks for listening, and hope to hear from you all, and see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our latest episode of Mindful Conversations. Join me and Shamash in the next episode as we explore with a new guest the potential impact of AI on the future human story. It's been a thought-provoking journey for us, and hopefully it will challenge your perceptions and also spark curiosity. If you liked what you heard, then please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, subscribe, share this with someone who you think would enjoy the show. And if you have any questions for us or comments, email us at connect@mindfulcombo.com. Bye for now.